Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. I saw him play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Ladies and gentlemen of Steeler Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Steelers Final Score, the BehindTheSteelCurtain.com post-game show. It's a sad and somber show as the 2015 Steelers season is officially over, ended in a defensive struggle between the Steelers and the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning gets his redemption. It'll be Peyton versus Tom Brady again in the AFC Championship game, and there were a lot of storylines to draw to this one. I will eventually be joined by my typical co-host, Chris Carter, who he's on his way to finding a safe spot to talk about the game. But I'm sure there's a lot of people that do want to talk about the game. The phone number to call in is 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. If you want to call in to complain about decisions, you want to call in to complain about playmakers, whatever the case may be, that's fine. But before I take any phone calls, I want to take the second to hopefully let all the listeners know what a special season this has been for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You look at this team, you look at this defense, and you just look at the adversity that they've gone through. And it's something that's been written about on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com recently. Myself and others have written about it. The amount of injuries that they've dealt with, the amount of off-the-field stuff, I mean, you think about it. Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant start the year suspended. You lose Marquise Pouncey. You lose Calvin Beecham. You have a myriad of other injuries along the way, like Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt. Ryan Shazier misses a significant amount of time in the middle of the season. All of these things go down, and honestly, it seemed like it took its toll, and especially with Antonio Brown out in the last game. It's just a shame that the last two Pittsburgh Steelers seasons, you've really seen their go-to guy miss the final game of the season. You think back in 2014, you see Le'Veon Bell goes down in Week 17. The wild card game against the Ravens, they missed him dearly. You look now at 2015, Antonio Brown's loss in the wild card game. You missed him dearly in this game today. And it wasn't so much from a production standpoint as they had other players produce. Sammy Coates was a great contributor. Martavis Bryant stepped up big time. Marcus Wheaton had some big catches. But you missed the attention that Antonio Brown draws when he's on the field. I didn't even mention the fact that D'Angelo Williams was lost for the last 2.5 weeks, basically, after he got hurt in Week 17 against the Cleveland Browns. The defense got better as the season went on. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't always pretty. And a lot of people are going to say that it's on the defense for losing this game, because ultimately, when Fitzgerald Toussaint fumbled the football, Peyton Manning had to drive the field, and they did just that. But you know what? The offense didn't help out either. All I'm going to say is that my outlook on this season is going to be, I'm excited for 2016, because let's be honest, someone name me a team that if they have all their pieces together, pieces that are healthy, pieces that we know are coming back, because free agency is going to be talked about a lot and in the coming days, the coming weeks, and as we approach the heart of the offseason, there are a lot of people that might not be back, but the people that are going to be back, those pieces, especially offensively, this team could be very, very dangerous for years to come. Now, I'm not making excuses. They had every chance to win, and they didn't. Some are going to question Mike Tomlin not going for field goals, rightfully so. Some are going to criticize Jordan Berry, rightfully so. When you have two 27-yard kicks, that's not going to do it, especially against an offense like Peyton Manning. Some might even criticize William Gay for not getting that interception. But you know what? That's football. And the Steelers definitely lost in the special teams department. But as I said, if you want to call in to give your input or your outlook on the season or this game in general, you can. 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. The phone lines are open. Let's get to our first caller here. If I can get the computer to work, here we go. 832-256. Go ahead. Run the Steelers Final Four.
What's going on, man? It's Melvin out of Dallas. Y'all doing all right?
I'm doing just fine, Melvin. How you doing?
I've been better, man. I really can't. There's really nothing I can say other than that fumble at that particular time in the game. That really crushed us. Defense, for what I could tell, was doing. I mean, they were doing well. I think defense played well, all things being considered. Yeah, you can say we should have stopped them, you know, at that point. But one thing people didn't. Nothing was said, and they said a little bit about it on telecast. If you've never been to Denver, if you've never been at that altitude, and our defense was getting worn out because they were getting out there. Offense wasn't moving the ball. I forget what particular series it was when we were pinned back deep, and then we just ran the ball three times and then punted, and then they got a short field because defense pretty much held them all game long. The only thing that really bothers me is we don't score when we need to, when we get in the red zone. The long run by Darius Heyward-Bey, the long run by Martavius Bryant, you know, a lot of times it seems like we have to take it to the house on those plays because if they stop us and we end up getting inside the 20, we just can't finish. And I really think that hurt us a lot tonight.
Yeah, and honestly, Melvin, that's the second year that the red zone offense has been an issue. Last year, I felt like it was more of an issue. This year, it was improved. But with the playmakers that they have across the offense, when they're all healthy, mind you, it's just one of those things where you kind of scratch your head. You wonder what's going on. A lot of people thought they should run the ball more in the red zone. It really seems like a case-by-case situation. And whatever the case may be, I think that you really have to look at that in the offseason and try to rectify it. Now, in my opinion, I think the game came down to two plays. I hate to say that because ultimately a football game is encompassing a lot more than two. But I think there were two main plays.
The fumble and what else?
The Peyton Manning drop back. He gives himself up. Doesn't get touched by Will Allen. Stands up, throws a 16-yard strike to Emmanuel Sanders, continues the drive. That went from a negative play to a positive play and a first down. And I'm sorry, the guy goes down. He takes himself out of the game. It's essentially, in my opinion, like a quarterback sliding. They let the play go on. And if he were to have gotten hit there, they would have thrown a flag on the person that hit him.
Flag on it.
That play really bothered me, and I felt that really turned the tide in a lot of different ways. And it's frustrating, but at the same time, you could say there were calls missed on both sides. The Talib pass interference or non-call on Martavis Bryant. We could go on and on, but I thought those were two plays that ultimately turned the tide in the game. And it's a shame because I'll tell you what, I thought this was a special season. I thought that this team, a lot of people didn't give this defense a chance. And you know what? They had their moments, but they actually did a decent job this year. I think Keith Butler should be commended for what he did with what he had at his disposal. The defense, some of those young guys started to really show up. Jarvis Jones played a great game today. Bud Dupree showed up in the postseason, I thought. Ryan Shazier has proven that if he's healthy, he's one of the best inside linebackers in the NFL. I think there's optimism for next year, Melvin.
But what you were saying, what you also touched on at the beginning of the show, talking about what Tomlin has done and what he had. Okay, if I told you you're going to be without your number one receiver, your number one running back, your all-pro center, your left tackle, you're going to be with a fourth-string kicker. If I told, and then you're going to end up losing your Hall of Fame quarterback for at least four games throughout the season, and I told you you would go 10-6, you would look at me like I was crazy. If I further told you that we would also end up going into the divisional round, you'd look at me like I was crazy again. So I think what Tomlin was able to do to galvanize and rally the troops and you know and really you know get some of these guys to play outside themselves, you know, because one thing we didn't touch on and I didn't hear you say his name. Look at Sammy Coates today. You know, mm-hmm. you know, it does look good for him, you know, next year. But look at Sammy Coates. You know, we've got some decisions we gotta make. You know, we gonna keep Will on the waiver. You know, I think Sweetham's gone. You know, Boswell's earned that job. You know, as far as I'm concerned, which one of the DBs we gonna keep between Gay? We got Gay, Boykin, Blake. I think there was a third one. A fourth one that's going to be a free agent as well. I mean, we have some pieces in place, but, you know, to be without your number one rusher and your number one wide receiver and it comes down to, like you said, it really comes down to two plays, you know, and you're on the road. Yeah. And that's Ben's first loss in the division round. He was, I think he was 4-0, 5-0
in the
division round. You know,
this is Mike Tomlin's first loss in the division run as well. But yeah, you're right, Melvin. It's a tough pill to swallow. We thank you for all your time calling into the show. I think we're going to do a wrap up this Wednesday, where we'll talk more about free agency. We'll have the full list there, and Lance and I hopefully will be able to run down. We'll take your guys' calls and talk about who you keep, who you get rid of, positions to possibly look, target in the draft. But thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it as always, Melvin.
All right, man, take it easy. Go Steelers.
Hey, yeah, that's right. Go Steelers is right. And I welcome now my co-host on the show, Chris Carter. Chris, what are your thoughts, my friend, after the tough loss, 23-16 at the hands of the Denver Broncos on the road? What are your thoughts?
I couldn't be prouder of these guys, man, Jeff. I mean, if anyone is really mad at Frank Sont for fumbling the ball against a hard hit, you know, it's to the point where if it weren't for his great catch on third down last week, I don't think we'd even be here. I'm super proud of the way they fought. The defense really stood tall today. They gave up a tough touchdown late in the game, and that was tough to see. But in Denver, without three of the best players in the league, and not even like it's different when you say, "Man, Le'Veon Bell's out." Like that in and of itself is warranted, as someone saying like, "Dang, you guys are fighting hard without him." But we're not just missing Le'Veon Bell; we're missing his backup, D'Angelo Williams. We're missing the guy that was supposed to lead the offensive line all season in Marquise Pouncey, and he's never there, you know, just because of injury. We're missing, and then after all of that, we survived that. We survived that when we faced him the last time. But now you face a Broncos team in their own environment, fully healthy, against, you know, without Antonio Brown, the guy that was the absolute nightmare for this team the last time, and you only lose by one possession. Come on now, I cannot be mad, at all for the way that they played. The defense fought hard. They didn't get the turnover that I was hoping that they would get. But as a Steelers fan, I could not be more proud of the way they fought. They kept it together. Ben Roethlisberger did not turn the ball over today. Like I thought he would turn the ball over. I was sitting here like, I think he's going to throw a pick at some point today just because of the past few weeks, and I think the defense is going to have to respond with some turnovers. The defense did not get a turnover like I thought they would today, but they held the Broncos' offense in check at several points. I mean, in the first half, when they got the ball at the 30-yard line twice and only came away with two field goals. Those are two huge wins from a defense against Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and C.J. Anderson. I mean, they had all their weapons. The Broncos had everybody. The Steelers did not have their two – I mean, last year their two MVPs were Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and neither of them made this game. Le'Veon Bell's been out since, what, week 8, week 9? So it's – you know, and Jeff, yes, I am disappointed. I thought we could take them. It was obvious that the Steelers could have taken them. I mean, they were leading going into halftime. They had several shots. If Franklin Toussaint doesn't fumble the football, they have a shot to win the game. But as far as how it worked out, it just didn't work out in the Steelers' favor this time. It was a miracle that they were able to beat the Bengals last week. which was a great playoff win. And Toussaint last week made one of the best catches that you could ask of a running back in recent Steelers playoff history. I can't even think of a running back catch out for the Immaculate Reception when it comes to Steelers playoff history. But I do think that was one of the better catches that we've had, and especially from a fourth string guy that was on the practice squad all season long, and he just comes off the practice squad to make a catch like that. You know, in my winners and losers column, I have to put him as a loser because he, quote-unquote, fumbled the ball that one time. But I will put a big disclaimer in there and saying, like, look, I am super proud of this guy for stepping up the way he did. I mean, I kind of even want to put him there because of just the way that he ran hard the whole playoffs. So I'm not mad at all, Jeff. I'm disappointed that we lost, but I am not. It's crazy. This is the least down I've ever felt about a Steelers playoff loss that I've ever sat here and watched.
Well, you know, I sit here and you know, this is unraveling for us as well. You know, we look at the think back on the plays that were and all that. And I don't know if you were on, but I was talking to Melvin. I said I thought the game came down to two plays. It was obviously the Toussaint fumble. I said that the Peyton Manning getting himself up, getting back up and throwing to Emmanuel Sanders was another one. And then I'll also say that now that I come to think of it, that the non-call on Aqib Talib on the pass interference in the end zone on Martavis Bryant, where they had just called William Gay on the most ticky-tacky pass interference call, and then you get mugged in the end zone. He comes right down on his hands before the ball even is near him, and you don't call it, because I would have liked the Steelers' chances of three shots at the goal line. And they don't call it. They settle for a field goal. That would have made it 17-9, I believe, or maybe 17-6. I think it's 17-9. I don't think that the Broncos can come back from that. And so it would have totally changed the outlook of the game. But football is a game of inches. If you watch the game long enough, there's going to be calls that are missed. Some will argue that Marcus Wheaton muffed fumble or muffed punt should have been down at the 1-inch line instead of given at the 25 after a touchback and a 5-yard penalty. But I got to be honest that I think that if you're using Mike Tomlin-isms, you're saying that with this football team, the arrow is pointing up going into next season. Absolutely. So we do have some callers that have been waiting. Let's get some of these people on the air. I think this is our Hall of Fame caller, Vito from New Jersey. What's going on, Vito?
Gentlemen, good evening, gentlemen. You know what? I don't feel that upset. I mean, in the past, they did when they lost in overtime to the 6-6 Broncos, 8-8 Broncos, and they got beat by Tim Tebow. I was upset at that one.
Yep.
And remember one thing: when they played that game, Ben was hurt also, and he still was able to drive them to tie. So to lose in that fashion in overtime when they had a better defensive unit, that was more shocking to me. But again, you got to remember one thing. We don't know how good Ben felt today. I mean, he went in there and played his butt off to give the team a chance. We know that he definitely wasn't 100%. So to even go in there and give the team a chance, and it was so close, and it's like you said, Jeff, it was a game of inches. And when Toussaint fumbled that ball, it reminded me of the Super Bowl against Green Bay when that one play – remember, the fumble was caused, and that was the turning point in the game for them. But they did have other opportunities where, when they were driving in that other drive, and if you remember, Gilbert got called for the 15-yard penalty that backed them up to the 39-yard line.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't get that 15-yard penalty, they're still in field goal range. And then if you remember the other possession where Martavis Bryant tried to sidestep, and it cost himself a couple of yards, and that was the reason why they didn't go for the field goal and ended up kicking the ball into the 20-yard line and giving Denver the ball at the 20. Now, we could argue and say maybe he should have taken the chance and gone for the field goal there, but if the guy misses it, then what happens? Denver has great field position. So, you know, if you're too aggressive and it doesn't work out for you, then what do you do? But let's look at another game today. Did you guys ever think that the Seattle Seahawks would get blown out at 31-0 after the first half?
Right.
You're talking about one of the top defenses, right? And you got one of the top quarterbacks, great offensive line. These guys had to climb back from 31-0. And I was saying to myself, I hope this game's not a blowout in their favor. And you know what? It was a close game the whole way there. And we came down to the final 10 minutes of the fourth quarter. That game could have went either way. Yes, if Steelers come away with a field goal here and maybe a field goal there, or maybe one of those two drives they come away with a TD, they probably have the lead and they go into this last few minutes with the lead. But then the question is, what would they have done next week? You know, we don't know. Can they go into New England and beat New England? What is Ben's condition going to be? I mean, look, we know the guy's not 100%. And we don't know after a performance like today and getting sacked a few times if he would have been 100% next week. So you said it last week, Jeff. We're playing with house money. We got lucky to win last week and get away with it. Here we are today. We put up a good fight. And you know what? It was such a close game. It could have went either way. And no one gave Pittsburgh a chance today. And you know what? They almost pulled it off. A play here, a play there, they probably turn around, and this game's either going into overtime or they end up winning by maybe a field goal or a touchdown. So it is what it is. We had to deal with the injuries and everything else, and we still fought. And I think next year, you know, we have a little bit of an easier schedule. Maybe we could get home field advantage. I think it would be nice for us to finally get a first-round bye to rest some people, because if you notice, the teams that come out of the bye seem to be healthier. Look at New England coming out of the bye.
Yeah,
good day looked yesterday. Denver's coming out of the bye. And even though Denver came out of the bye, their defense was good. But look, we matched them, even though we've been playing week after week. But like you said, Denver's
Carolina.
A tough place to play. Carolina, look at them after the bye, how good they looked, right?
And Arizona, all the home teams won this week.
You never thought the Seahawks would go down 31-0 today, did you? I never expected that. 31-0, the game's over. How do you come back from that? To even come down and lose by, I mean, how do you come back down from, it's impossible. You go down, that game wasn't even fun to watch. At least this game came down to the wire. It was so close. Could have went either way in the last 5 minutes. So, not disappointed. Look, as fans, we always want them to go to the next round, right? We always want that, but unfortunately it didn't work out that way. But we got close.
Yeah, no, Vita, you're right. I think that a lot of times, you know, especially with the Steelers, it's Super Bowl or bust. And people say that all the time, and they talk about how, you know, well, you know, this team, were they good enough? If they were all healthy, yeah, I think they would have been good enough. But at the same time, I look at it and say, if this team, and I don't think anyone should use injuries as an excuse. I'm not saying you did, Vito, but I don't think anyone should use injuries as an excuse for why this team lost this football game. They just weren't able to make enough plays. And let's give credit to the Denver Broncos defense, because they're very good. And I thought that the Steelers came out with a pretty – once they settled down after the first quarter, they had a pretty good game plan. Roethlisberger's arm, if it was hurting him, it didn't show it. The guy averaged over 9 yards per pass, and or per completion, I should say. And he had over 339 yards. I mean, he just didn't get the ball into the end zone, which is what you're used to seeing from Big Ben. But, Chris, what do you think about all this, the whole situation?
I mean, it's not saying that the injuries are an excuse for the Steelers losing the game. It's never an excuse. You know, Coach Tom, after every game, is like, we didn't – after every Steelers loss, we didn't make the plays that we needed to make folks to win the game. And that's the bottom line. They did not. Frankly, did not fumble the ball. We didn't put the ball in the end zone enough. And, I mean, it came down to that. And, you know, Peyton Manning led a touchdown drive, you know, in the second half that helped get his team's victory. And you and I, as we were talking about the whole game, Jeff, is about who's going to make the next big play when the Steelers were up 13-12. And sure enough, it was the Broncos that forced a fumble from Franklin Song. However, I don't think that it's not about making an excuse for the team. It's about acknowledging the fact that the team was able to pull such a great performance out of the many backups that they have. Martavis Bryant, a fourth-round draft pick that coming into last season, many people thought it was going to take about 3-4 years for him to develop and for him to be a weapon in the NFL. He has proven himself to be a tough fighter, to be a speedster, and into a guy that can make big plays even when his top receiver is out of the game. Marcus Wheaton, tough route runner, can make the big catches when you need him to. Heath Miller can fight when you need him to. Even Sammy Coates, a third-round draft pick, a rookie that, you know, was sitting on the bench all year long, he came out and made some big plays for the Steelers today. You know, and even the offensive line, 3/5 of this offensive line are undrafted players. There are so many things. The offense was in 5 starters today. And that's not to mention D'Angelo Williams, who had a great season as a backup running back. Steelers knew what happened to Le'Veon Bell last season. They went out and got his replacement. Even the replacement got hurt. And then they were down to their 4th and 5th guys. It is such a respect to see that team fighting as hard as they did to get to this point. It's not an excuse. It's not to discredit anything the Denver Broncos did. They fought hard. They earned the win in their own stadium. And to be honest, I'm rooting for the Denver Broncos next week. I don't want to see Tom Brady win another bowl ring. I don't want to see him make another Super Bowl. I want to see Peyton Manning come back off of it. He's had a long, hard season, 9 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. I like to see some Peyton Manning go back in the Super Bowl and earn himself, you know, his second Super Bowl ring so he can retire in peace. But to talk about the injuries, it's not about the excuse. It's about the acknowledgement of how well this Steelers team was run all season long and how proud you are as a Steelers fan to see that they never gave up despite losing. They didn't just lose a tight end that was leading the league in receiving. They lost Antonio Brown, who is arguably the best receiver in the modern since 2000. Like, you know, since the 2000 season, he has put up numbers that no one else has ever put up in the league. Le'Veon Bell is arguably the best running back in the league. And you know, Jeff, you and I talked about this during the offseason, was whether Antonio Brown was the best wide receiver in football. It's unquestionable that he's the best in the NFL right now. Now it's a question of how good is he compared to the most recent great receivers in the league. That's the question that can be talked about more as the offseason rolls on, as we get into the next season, and as his career continues. But, you know, you're missing a guy that was being compared to Walter Payton in running back, that is Le'Veon Bell, last season. And you're missing the best receiver in all of football and the best center in all of football. You know, the fact that you're even competing for a win, kudos to the team for being there, and I'm proud of them.
Absolutely. Vito, as always, we thank you for the call. Make sure you check us out on Wednesday, Vito. We're going to do a wrap-up show. Do you have anything else for that, yo?
I did. I saw Peyton go over to Ben at the end when they were talking to each other, and I know Peyton had some kind words for him. I don't know if he was telling him, you're a competitor, you're a warrior, keep it up. Because I see that they have a lot of respect for one another, and I noticed Ben, after a lot of games, win or lose, he always goes over to the quarterbacks and talks to them, and it seems like the quarterbacks have a lot of respect for him. They really do. Because I saw Peyton was talking to him for about 30 seconds or so. I don't know what he'd say with him, but he must have had something positive to say to him, I bet you.
Well, Peyton Manning, whether you like him or not, is a class act, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're never going to see – I mean, you might get annoyed with the commercials, or you might ultimately say, you know what, gosh, that guy wins again, you know, whatever you want to say about him, but he is a class act. This HGH thing is like the only stain on his reputation, and I think that's going to go away rather quickly, to be honest with you. But you're right, he's a classy guy. So, but as again, Vito, for the season, thanks for being a part of the show, and hopefully
guys,
you'll join us on Wednesday for the wrap up show.
Stay positive. I think we'll have a great year next year, and I'm rooting for Payne. I'd like to see him go one more time and win it. And you know what? He's not a cocky guy like Brady is. But again, these are two of the best ever, and eventually these two will retire. So when those two retire, look at what's left out there. Not much, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Enjoy.
Thanks for the phone call.
It's been a great run, and I think we'll be fine next year. I think we'll see us there for a third time.
All right, buddy. Now, I got to say, I'm putting together some of the social media network, some of the social media that's going on, and a couple things floating around here. I think Charlie Batch put it best. He said after the game, good season, Steelers. You gave us a lot to smile about this season. Thank you. 2016 season starts now. And that's the truth. I mean, let's be honest. We're all fans. We all have a lot invested into this team emotionally. Ultimately, when I think back on the season, I don't think about the defeating losses. I think about the times I jumped up in my basement, just pumping my fist, doing like, I don't know, kicking around. I just get excited. You know what I mean? Like, this team gives us a lot to be proud of, a lot to smile about. And I think we appreciate that. So let's hold on. One second. Chris, did you see this? I don't know if you're around Twitter.
Okay.
Aqib Talib, who, let's just be honest, is not the classiest individual ever. He is now I swear, I'm not making this up. Adam Crowley of Steelers Nation Radio, I guess he's at the game, and he said that Aqib Talib just accused Ben Roethlisberger of faking his injury, his shoulder injury. So that's going to be interesting. You win the football game. You think that's enough? I guess it's not. So with that said, I'm sure that'll be mulled around for a bunch, considering the fact that they're going to be moving on and the Steelers are going to have something to talk about. Nonetheless,
classless.
Yeah, it is classless. That's pretty much a good
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Are you kidding me? Ben Roth, you saw how Vontae Perfect not only landed on his shoulder last week, but kneed him in the shoulder. Play was over. Come on now. And I mean, I get it. Aqib Talib, you're probably mad because the Steelers beat you with their second string running back and coming back down from 17 points when you thought you had the game over earlier in the season. I get it. You think you shouldn't have lost that game. But you know, the Steelers just played a tough game. You barely beat them with all the players that they were missing. Antonio Brown, the living nightmare that terrorized your defense for two touchdowns and, 180 yards the last time, was not on the field, let alone Le'Veon Bell, who probably would have been even more of a nightmare for your defense. Come on, man. That, like, I get it. Like, when Peyton Manning lost to the Ravens on the crazy play that took Jacoby Jones, that if either of their defensive backs didn't trip on themselves and fall over and pull a Charlie Brown to lose, you know what Peyton Manning did? He went to Ray Lewis's locker room and said, and shook his hand and said, "Hey man, good luck. I hope you get a Super Bowl." And that's what Peyton Manning did when he lost to the Ravens. You know, for Aqib Talib to say that about Ben Roethlisberger, that's ridiculous. This is the same guy who poked, I forget which team he was playing, but he poked a player in the eye, you know, to sneakily try and take them out, you know, during a play. That's ridiculous. That's preposterous. I so badly want to root for the Broncos because I like Peyton Manning. I don't hate Peyton Manning at all in his career. I think some of his commercials are skeezy. He's a really cool guy. I think that he's funny sometimes. I think that he has gotten a lot of flack for not being a playoff quarterback, and rightfully so. He hasn't made a lot of plays in the playoffs. But I do want to see him at least end with two rings so that he can go into his retirement and be happy and, like, live a cool, you know, post-NFL life. Because I know if he loses to Tom Brady again in next week, all it's going to be about talking about is how Tom Brady owns him. And that's going to be the discussion. And I don't want that to happen. But for Aqib Talib to say that about Ben Roethlisberger is classless, utterly classless. And considering how the Steelers just got finished playing like one of the most classless organizations in the NFL with the Cincinnati Bengals, it's disgusting. It's disappointing. I thought the Broncos could at least win with class. You know, and I'm not saying that all the Broncos didn't, but that's sad of Aqib Talib to say.
Yeah, I agree, dude. There's really not much you can say, but let's get to some other callers, see what they have to say. Here we go. 347-406, you're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Bryce from Brooklyn.
What's
up, Bryce?
Yo, what's going on? Tough loss, but you know what? I'm not even – I'm kind of like you. Like, this is – about the best I felt after a Steeler loss in a long time. You know, you didn't want to lose the game, but, you know, the team fought really, really hard. I want to make one comment before I make another one. I can't remember his name. I mean, I do expect him to say stuff like that because he's a player that's known to be very brittle, so he doesn't know what it means to play through an injury like that. So I could see why he would think someone else is faking because he's been brittle for a lot of his career and he's missed a lot of important games because he can't play hurt. So it doesn't surprise me at all. But no. I thought came down – it was one of those tough Steeler-Raven-type games, if you will, where it came down to I felt they punted the ball a lot better than us. Jordan Berry is really – Chris, to take one of your words, he was really a winner-loser this game. He was a loser. He just did not do enough in the punting game to flip the field, to give Boswell a chance to maybe bang home some field goals if Pittsburgh could drive with better field position. And we know the fumble was killer. Toussaint's done a lot of great things for the team. But the fumble was definitely a killer. I also thought on first and 25, just Todd Haley going with the sidecar sweep. That was a really bad call. Put them further behind the chains. I think in that situation, put the ball in Ben's hands. Let him make up some of that. Give Boswell a chance to bang home field goals. See if he can match McManus, which I think he would have. McManus had a really good day. So we just needed to play a perfect error-free game. And the couple ones we made just really came back to bite us.
Go ahead, Chris. What do you think about that?
I mean, I didn't agree with that call. I agree with you entirely, Bryce. But to me, I thought Todd Haley called a good game.
Yes.
At least the play calls that I saw, especially on the first play of the whole game when he took a deep shot to Whedon, it didn't connect, you know.
Yeah.
But the threat, it was like, hey, Broncos, I'm not afraid to throw it deep. So best believe. And you saw the Broncos throughout much of the game. They played prevent defense. They were giving Steelers under routes, and that's often what got them down the field. They let Martavis Bryant catch it under them, and he took off. Same thing for Sammy Coates. I thought that was pretty good. Again, my thing is with Ben Roethlisberger, he obviously wasn't 100% there today. And I don't care what Aqib Talib says. Ooh, he's faking an injury. Now you're Pac-Man Jones Jr., whatever. When it comes to how the Steelers played today, they were missing their best weapons on many fronts, and they were still able to move the ball. And again, not just move the ball, they moved the ball against the best defense in the NFL. The Denver Broncos defense has an insane pass rush with a star-studded secondary. Aqib Talib was considered the best corner that was on the free agent market when he was signed by the Broncos from the Patriots 2 years ago. Chris Harris Jr., though not a superstar at all times, he has locked down several receivers. He didn't give up a touchdown until he played Antonio Brown 2 weeks ago. Obviously, wasn't on the field today. T.J. Ward was one of the best free agent safeties that you could ask for a year ago when the Broncos signed him from the Browns in the offseason. You know, they went up against, and then don't forget Von Miller on the front and DeMarcus Ware on the front and Dan Bateson on the front. You know, there's so many things they went up against. That's one of the best defenses in the NFL. And I said that when they beat them the first time. That is one of the best defenses in the NFL they put up 34 points against and came back from a 70-point deficit. And so for them to do what they did, I'm proud of them. I'm not mad at Todd Haley. Yes, there were some calls I disagree with, but you know what? When you're an offensive coordinator at the NFL level, you know, you're not going to make every call right. It just doesn't happen all the time. There's sometimes it does. You call a perfect game, but you can't expect perfection all the time. And there were some things I disagree with. It didn't work out in our favor this way. And you can't stop Franklin from the football. That's not a play call. He on the play that he fumbled, he had a good game. It looked good. It looked solid, and then it just turned out bad for us. And again, that's not to say that Franklin Sutton's a bad player, because he played hard as a practice squad player coming into this game. But there's a lot of things you can't account for, all those injuries, and then Arthur Motes going out. So I'm not mad at all about it. But Jeff, what's your take?
I don't know. I mean, this is one of those games where I literally look at everything like, you can look at it through a microscope and say this, that, and the other, or should have done this, should have done that. I mean, we can talk about a poor play call. Look, I think what you saw is what you had. Todd Haley, he had a quarterback who had a bum. He had a bum shoulder, despite what the Aqib Talib said. So he put together a game plan that was going to help maximize those intermediate to short routes. And I thought Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball really well. I mean, he was on target. He had some drops. There were only a couple of plays I thought he missed. I didn't blame the play calling. The only time I guess I thought maybe I would point the finger at Haley was the drive where they started inside their own 20. They ran three straight run plays. That's
right.
Third,
right,
I think it was third and long. It was one of those where I was like, you're playing it safe. You don't want to turn over in that end of the field. And unfortunately, Barry wasn't able to bail him out. But what else you got for us, Bryce? I know you got something else to talk about.
No, well, you know, just so I'm clear and I want, I don't want to be mistaken. I definitely feel overall Todd Haley called a good game. It was just those were just a couple instances where we really could have used maybe a little something better. I also think, Jeff, I wanted to make this point, and we've talked about this before. I wanted to see a little bit more pressure on Peyton Manning. There was some. I think Steelers need to address that. They need to be able to ratchet up the pressure, because I think if we could have gotten him a little bit more, that would have helped us turn the football, turn him over, which we weren't able to get that turnover. Also, too, let me give credit to that, to our front seven, the way they stopped the run for the most of the game. It was great. I thought our offensive line has been, with the backups, been outstanding.
Yeah.
I thought they did a great job. They were good in the run game. They gave Ben a lot of time to throw. You know, we just didn't have enough because of, you know, you don't want to use the injuries as an excuse, but they are a part of the game. And I think that was a part that ended up kind of biting us. Just so we can read real quick, James Palmer from the NFL says, Chris Harris said he wasn't himself, said moving forward, Roby is going to play the majority of the snaps, said shoulder was way worse than Ben's. So now these dudes are doctors.
Oh, my God.
It's almost like you should fit both of them dudes for a clown suit. Like, these dudes are doctors now. they play doctors on the field and on TV. How about that? I just wanted to let you know that.
So let me get this straight. They're complaining about our injuries not being as – one of our several injuries not being as serious as they thought it would be because of the way that Ben played against
right,
their defense.
Right, right, exactly.
They're complaining. The Steelers haven't made mention of the fact that the two best player offensive weapons in the NFL are missing in this game. But the Denver Broncos are complaining.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They're making me want to root for the Patriots. And do you know that I never root for the Patriots? Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take that away. But I'm sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
What was the question after that rant? I forgot.
I mean, just fit these two guys, him and his corner buddy, for a clown suit.
I remember now. It was about pressure. I think that Keith Butler had a good plan, and that was stop the run. So you're gonna have the pressure. You know, I thought that Stephon too had played a monster football game.
Oh yeah, he was great.
Oh yeah,
this guy was busting down the line. That was the best I've seen the Steelers defend the zone stretch running plays in at least the last 5 years. And I was totally impressed with Stephon Tuitt. Cameron Hayward, I thought that he's been kind of quiet the last few weeks. And let's be honest, when Tuitt's blowing it up, Cam Hayward has got to be doing something. I'm not cutting on him. I wouldn't put him in as a loser, but it's just an observation. I thought that, you know, in the second half, you saw Butler bring some really good blitzes, and then you also saw him bring some really questionable ones at times. There were some delayed blitzes where he brought two secondary defenders, really, really late off the snap. And I just kept on saying, oh, my gosh, you're leaving guys blanketed in the back end. I mean, they're absolutely one-on-one on an island. And they just don't have the defenders to do that. I loved how they played Boykin a lot. I thought Boykin played well. I thought the secondary didn't play bad. I mean, there was one play where Antoine Blake got turned around, I think, on Demaryius Thomas. It's going to happen. He's not the best coverage guy, and really,
right.
Peyton Manning didn't beat the Steelers. What happened was is their running game eventually wore them down, and Peyton Manning dinked and dunked his way down the field and scored a touchdown. And it's a double-edged sword, because you can look at it and say, and I actually messaged this to Chris and said, there's no way 13-12 stands. Like, that's not going to be the final score. And someone had a mistake, and it was Tucson. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, like I said, it's when it was 13-12, and you said that, and I said it's about who makes the next big play, and the next big play was to stop fumbling the football, and
right.
And it worked out to go the Denver Broncos' way. I mean, if the Steelers just even get a field goal in that possession, it's a completely different ball game. Not only does it keep the momentum in their favor, but it forces the Broncos to have to work harder to score, and it doesn't give them the field position. I mean, there's so many things about that just didn't work out their way. And again, I was sitting with some friends in a bar in the Shady Side neighborhood of Pittsburgh, and my friend Matt, who he's not like a diehard Steelers fan, but he's from Tennessee. He's kind of adopted Pittsburgh, and he just felt bad for Toussaint the whole game, because whenever after that, as soon as that drive ended, they kept putting the camera on Toussaint. And I felt, he said, like, you know, this isn't his fault. This is not all his fault. You know, yes, he fumbled the ball. He made a mistake. But he's not Jeremy Hill fumbling the ball. Jeremy Hill came into the season thinking that he was the number one running back in the Cincinnati Bengals roster. You know, he's not Marshawn Lynch. He's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not Adrian Peterson, who did fumble the ball in a crucial situation last week. You know, he's a fourth-string guy that was on the practice squad all season long. And for him to fumble the football, it's like, when it happened, I was like, well, we were kind of due for that. And I think I sent you that on G-Chat, Jeff. I was like, we were kind of due for a fumble from that guy. Because he made some really solid runs this week and last week. And he made a great reverse shoulder back. I mean, I don't know how to describe it, but the way that he caught the reverse shoulder catch last week, he turned one way and then he realized Ben threw it to his other shoulder. He turned the other way and made a great third down catch that kept the drive alive. I mean, without that catch, we might not be in this round to even talk about right now. And Cincinnati might be gloating. So I am not mad at Toussaint at all. We made our mistakes. They were what they were. But, I mean, come on. You got to be proud of this team. You can't be mad at the fact that this guy who was not supposed to ever even see the field, let alone the fact that the only reason that we're even in the situation of having to travel on the road is because so many players were hurt throughout the season. You know, we probably beat the Chiefs. We probably beat the Ravens. We probably beat a lot of teams if our players are healthy throughout the earlier parts of the season. And that gives us a chance to have a home field advantage and not have to travel to this crazy place where air is heavier than anything, you know. But forget all that. We're here right now, and this guy who was on a practice squad team fought his heart off.
Yeah,
to be where he was, and that's the way the cookie crumbled. I'm not mad at that. That's just what it is.
Well,
that's my take.
You know,
I'm not mad at that.
I agree with you. You know what's interesting for me is that a lot of times people look at professional sports. And they think that some of these guys, they get paid so much money that, you know, there's always the theory of, well, fans take it harder than the players. And for a good majority of them, that's probably true. But when you're following on Twitter and you're reading these, you know, beat writers that are in the locker room, that Fitzgerald Toussaint is absolutely unconsolable in his locker, and Ben Roethlisberger is there trying to console him, you don't think that this guy is literally just torn up right now at the fact that he feels like it's on him, that they're not going to New England next week, and that this season is over. I mean, these guys feel just like everyone else. And what's a shame is, I guarantee you, if you were to go to his Twitter account, I'm sure there's some really, really huge idiots that are making some really inappropriate comments towards the man. People want to say, you think that he wanted to fumble the football? I mean, you think that was his intention? Of course not. He's a human being. He makes mistakes. And I thought that he performed extremely well under the circumstances. So, Bryce, you got anything else for us before we let you go?
Oh, yeah. Well, two things. One, let's give credit to the Steeler receivers that have shown,
absolutely,
even without Antonio Brown, look, they're not elite like him yet, but they've got a lot of athleticism, they've got a lot of skill, and they put a lot of pressure on the defense, which they did today, because they can run by you. And when you can run by people, that puts pressure on the defense. I'll give credit to Sammy Coates. That's a rookie that came in and had a nice game. He made some big catches. He looked fluid out there. You know, so arrow pointing up for him. Just really happy to see them, you know, come alive. I would have loved to see Wheaton make a play on that 4th-and-1, but he wasn't able to make it. But they played hard, and they fought their tails off. And, of course, the last thing, there's an article, Cincinnati Bengal players react to Pittsburgh Steelers loss. You got them tweeting out, "I have my closure now," by George Aloka, Ray Malaruga, "I can finally sleep in peace."
Hey,
Muhammad
Shah
with a bunch of smile movies. It's like, the clowns come out for the circus when all is said and done, don't they? Just unbelievable that these guys have the nerve after getting their after bungling their way in the most bungle way possible to come on Twitter and talk about they have closure. Unbelievable. Fit all of them for a clown suit.
Absolutely, man. And you bring a spot on point about the receivers. We got some people waiting, but Bryce, as always, thanks for the call. Join us on Wednesday for the wrap up. We're going to talk about free agency, the draft, all that good stuff.
Definitely, guys. Thanks.
Hey, no problem. All right, let's see who else we have here. We got a couple callers on hold. See if we can get them on here. If you want to call in, by all means, you can. 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. Here we go, 407-484. You're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys? I've been tweeting you throughout the game, Warrior for the Lord. Here's my take. The last 2 weeks, I think we let the Bengals hang around, and I thought we let the Broncos hang around a little too much today. I think we could have capitalized earlier to put more points on the board. But I'll be honest, coming into today, not knowing the status of Ben Stolder, and, of course, with AB out, you know, I really thought that we didn't have much of a shot. And I'm the most optimistic fan. I've been watching the Steelers for probably 30 years. I thought it would be an uphill battle, but I thought they had a chance, but I just thought it was a slim chance. They exceeded my expectations today. The defense played great. And like you guys have been mentioning, the future is bright. Ryan Shazier in these playoffs was incredible. Troy Polamalu-esque. He changes the game. I mean, this dude is everywhere. Jarvis Jones stepped up big today. He seemed to be flying around. Will Allen, I don't know what he's drinking. Him and James Harrison, two unbelievable seasons from them two veterans. Mike Mitchell, like I tweeted you today, he's Ryan Clark. I remember Ryan Clark's first year in Pittsburgh. People were like, why'd they sign him?
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Clark just kept getting better and better and better. Like a fine wine, he got better with age. And I think that's where Mike Mitchell's headed. Offensively, what you guys just said about Toussaint, I feel terrible for him. I was telling my buddy, like, this kid came in, he played a hell of a game last week. He was running hard today. And the only thing he's going to be remembered for is the fumble. And it's unfortunate. Because the defense, if they held up and we hold on, nobody remembers that fumble. You know, he's not Jeremy Hill, like you guys said. He's not the first string. My buddy was saying, oh, it reminds me of the Mendenhall fumble in the Super Bowl. And I was like, the problem is Mendenhall was our first string guy. He was our number one draft pick.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's frustrating, like you said. And Aqib Talib, talking about injuries, I mean, that dude's bowed out of more bigger games than anybody I've ever seen. He's a punk. Same with Pac-Man Jones. Who cares? Nobody's waiting for an apology from him. Who is it?
No, I agree with you. No. And I think that what you said was absolutely true. And at the very beginning of your call, you said they've let teams hang around too much. And that's the truth. And I think that if you're going to look at one aspect of the Steelers' very dynamic, very prolific offense that needs to improve in the offseason, it is the red zone offense. And whatever they have to figure out, whether it's, you know, I really don't think it's a blanket statement like, well, they need to run the ball more or they need to throw it to Martavis Bryant and back shoulder throws more. I think it's more of a case-by-case looking at what the defense is giving, what routes the receivers run best. I think that, you know, people might not say it because Martavis Bryant put up some pretty ridiculous numbers today. And even Sammy Coates, who performed well, and Marcus Wheaton had a good game. I thought Heath Miller did not have a good game. But Antonio Brown was missed. And you don't think that on third and five, who does Antonio Brown, at the end of the game, when they need a play, where does Ben throw the ball up on third and medium? Antonio Brown. Yep. Because they'll run that crossing route, they'll dig him over the middle of the field, and it's money in the bank every single time. And when he wasn't there, you had to ask, okay, well who's he going to go to now? And it turned out to be no one because the Broncos didn't have to shade Antonio Brown, which could have opened up Marcus Wheaton. So it sucks. It really does. And honestly, the comment you made about Fitzgerald, Toussaint, and how unfortunately that's all the people are going to remember him for, I think that depends on the person. Because for me,
right.
I will remember the fumble because it's a big play in a game, but I'm also going to remember that catch that Chris Carter talked about earlier about in the third down grab against the Bengals in the wild card round,
yep.
over the shoulder catch by Roethlisberger. I mean, this guy, I mean, people don't realize it, but look at the running back depth chart now going into next season, and it's pretty good. I mean, if you think that this kid is legitimate and you think Jordan Todman's worth keeping around, you've got yourself four pretty good, you've got a pretty good stable
yeah.
of running backs there. You
yeah.
throw in Roosevelt Nix as a rookie at fullback, because Will Johnson's probably going to be gone as a free agent. And I like their backfield now, you know, and so as tough as it is for him to probably realize this right now, he could have just solidified himself in the Pittsburgh Steelers organization as a running back who can be counted on and a running back who's going to add quality depth at a position that desperately needs it. Chris, what do you think?
I feel you entirely. You know, when it comes to the way that they played this game, you know, there's, man, I'm sorry, Jeff. You kind of hammered it home with that last point. As far as what we're looking at for this game, there's not many words that can take away the fact that the Steelers had a chance. The Steelers were there to win the game at certain times, and I mean, like you said, Franklin Toussaint, and I said this earlier, but I mean that catch, it was so remarkable. I covered it in film room, but I don't think I even did it justice when I said it. This, because I covered all, he had several big catches in the last game, but when I covered that catch amongst those catches, I don't think I was able to give it enough justice to say that this man made an insane catch. Think about it. Last year, Ben Tate couldn't catch a ball. It ended up being an interception for Terrell Suggs. And that kept us from moving on in the playoffs last year. You know, you put a fourth, fifth string running back that has very little, like, this was his second year in the NFL, Franklin Toussaint, as far as his year goes. You know, I don't know, I forget how long he, you know, I don't know his full experience in the NFL, but the fact that he came up that way, and you have to like the chance, like you said, you have to like the chances of the Steelers going forward, because, you know, Will Johnson may be lost in free agency, but guess what? Roosevelt Nix, we're going to have this guy. Leaving a belt, we're going to have him. We're going to re-sign him. D'Angelo Williams is going to be a veteran running back that we can depend on. And something also to think about, the way that Toussaint was able to catch the football, maybe he's the kick return guy that we're looking for. Maybe he can catch the ball and get upfield, get some yards when we need him to, and not fumble the football. And maybe just, because that's the biggest thing for me. In today's NFL, when the kickoff is placed at the 35 and many kickers can just kick it to the end zone, the biggest thing that I'm concerned about is when they don't kick it to the end zone, can you get it past the 20? And if you can just get it past the 20-yard line, I am happy with you. And don't fumble the football. Don't fumble the football. Get past the 20. I like you. And that is what I think Toussaint can be. That's what I think Todman can be. I don't know about Todman's hands. Toussaint's hands convinced me to the past 2 weeks that he can get it done. I think as long as he works hard, he continues to try. I didn't know about Ben trying to console him in his locker, because I'm pretty sure right now he's putting this on himself. If he is the guy that worked hard to get to this point, he is probably broken right now. He's probably sitting there thinking, I lost the game for my brothers, and this is on me. And to say him, and you know, I said earlier I want to put him in my losers column. I'm not putting him in a losers column. I'm not even making a losers column for this game. And mark that down for me now. I'm not putting any losers for this game. Forget that. This guy fought his heart out for this team and helped keep his team in the game in crucial points. I mean, some of the runs he had when it was, what, like first and 10 inside the 10-yard line for the Steelers, and he had a 4-yard run when the Broncos were waiting for the running game. And he just, you just saw him when he made impact with the defense, and he just kept – you just see him keep churning his feet. That's fundamentals right there. And not just it's not that it's just fundamentals. That's fundamentals from a guy that just has no business using fundamentals. Those are guys that, you know, they're lucky that they're in the league. You know, how can you expect these guys to step up in big games? But he stepped up. He stepped up last game. He even steps up in parts of this game. Yes, he made one big mistake. But I'm not mad at the guy. I want to write an open letter to that guy saying thank you for the efforts that you made, because you honored the position of a running back for the Steelers with the way that you fought hard as a backup. I'm not mad at that. There are certain things that didn't work out for us. And the Steelers, I think the Steelers, like you said, Jeff, the arrow is pointing up. They're going to get Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Marcus Wheaton, maybe Darius Haywood-Bey, but definitely Sammy Coates. You know, who knows who else they draft if they pick up another receiver this year, which who knows, they might just draft another receiver in the third round. Le'Veon Bell will be healthy. D'Angelo Williams will be healthy. And then you get, if Todman and Toussaint stay back, you know, hey, that's cool. Then you still get Marquise Pouncey is going to be healthy. Does the team keep Kelvin Beachum? If not, you have Villanueva. Ramon Foster's still there. Marcus Gilbert's still there. David DeCastro's still there. Heath Miller's still there. Jesse James, who also made a big play today, he's still there. Maybe Matt Spate sticks around. But on the defensive side of the ball, Cameron Hayward, you signed him. He's going to be continue to be a playmaker. He was such a leader for this team. He's my Mr. Steeler for this season. Stephon Tuitt's going to be there, and he played such a huge game. Steve McClendon, maybe we lose him, but even so, he played a good season. McCullough showed some backup. Ryan Shazier stepped up huge in these playoffs. He's going to be around. Mike Mitchell was playing hard during the playoffs. He's going to be around. Antoine Blake, he got roasted all season, and I was one of his biggest critics, you know, along with the rest of Steelers Nation. He played hard. I like the guy. I hope he sticks around, because if we need a backup corner, he's going to need to be in the game. William Gay played hard. Brandon Boykin, if we keep him, he plays hard. And then we still get to see what Sanquez Golson about. If Cortez Allen can come back healthy. There's so much to like about what this team can do next season. Man, I'm excited for it. Go Steelers. I'm all about it. But, Jeff, I'm sorry that it takes so long with my rant, but I'm feeling this team right now.
I have a quick question for you guys.
Sorry,
Boykin's Boykin's a free agent, right?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
And the Steelers will lose a fifth-round pick for him, correct?
Yeah, I think that the conditional pick will be a fifth rounder after the snap total, yeah.
Okay, what? Now, Cortez Allen, you think will be back? I mean, I know his salary, the structure's high. I don't know what the cap hit would be. Is Gay, I believe Gay's a free agent, and Blake? Is that correct?
Yep.
So, what do you think the chances are they bring Boykin back? I think Gay will come back. But
yeah, I mean,
what do you think about
Boykin? If you're up to me, if the Steelers don't want to spend a first round pick on a cornerback, if they don't like the draft class, then I think they need to push hard to see if they can get William Gay signed to a veteran friendly deal. Excuse me. You know, obviously he left Pittsburgh before. He came back for a reason. He likes Pittsburgh. Hopefully they can work that out. And then I think if they can try to finagle their way into keeping Brandon Boykin, it would be a very smart decision. Because let's be honest, when you have Gay, you have Blake, and you have Boykin as potential free agents going into the offseason, that leaves you with Rob Cockrell and Doran Grant, who didn't see the field as a defender, as your only experienced secondary cornerback, left on the roster. And so then you're looking at Cortez Allen possibly returning. We know how that might pan out. And then Sanquez Golson, who was on IR, who was a second-round draft pick this year. They would be wise to try to keep Brandon Boykin. He's a versatile guy. He plays the slot well. And William Gay has proven his worth. And it would also save them from having to go and look at cornerback and in the first round and maybe even in the second round in the upcoming draft. And I would actually be okay with that secondary group. What do you think, Chris?
Jeff, I even with the situation that we were coming into with corner, I'm okay with the Steelers not picking a corner for their first round draft pick. I mean, come on. Everyone thought we should have picked Denard from Michigan State when we picked Ryan Shazier. And Denard has proved so far it'd be a bust, because I think the Bengals picked him. But, you know, if there is a front seven guy that can wreak havoc, that can bring the heat, an outside linebacker guy that can bring the heat, because let's be honest, an unsung hero for this game was James Harrison. I'm going to put him in my winner's column. He did several key tackles. He had a sack in a playoff game. I mean, the guy is, what, 37, 38 years old and still effective at his position? Come on. I mean, as much as I want him to come back next year because I just love seeing 92 on the field, there's no way he can come back next year. There's just no way. And I liked what I thought of Jarvis Jones. You know, I liked, he had some hustle today. He had some nice tackles. He had some good pass coverage plays. But we need a guy that can create terror in the backfield, a guy that can wreak havoc upon opposing defenders, a guy that, like when he played New England, he said, 16, I'm coming to get you, and he can't stop me. And he comes over for two sacks in a row, and on the second sack, he forces a fumble. That kind of a guy, you know, it's next to impossible to draft that kind of a guy, but to draft the kind of guy that can be a playmaker at his position, that's key to me. And I think with the secondary that we have now, you know, yes, they're not star-studded. They don't have the super safety. And if there's a super safety out there when we pick at 22 or 23 or whatever we're going to pick at 25, you know, whatever it is, If we see a superstar, go get him. But if there's a super pass rusher out there, if there's a nose tackle that, you know, that can revolutionize our defense, we gotta get him. And you know what? We've seen too many times in the NFL that someone gets a super fast corner, the guy that is as fast as 40 time in the league, you know, a Nnamdi Asamoah that, you know, has potential. But if there's a guy that we know can fit our system and play well and do what we need to, that's the guy we need to go after. Not a super fast corner, not a guy that is a big risk. Let's get the guy that we know, we see that can be a superstar player. They saw that in Shazier. You know, they saw that in Le'Veon Bell when they made him a second-round draft pick. You know, they've seen that in several – Cameron Hayward is another one. David DeCastro is another one. You know, they've made several key draft picks that have rebuilt this team. I'm okay if they pass on the corner.
Stephon Tuitt's another one.
Stephon Tuitt, thank you. Perfect.
Tuitt's out of his mind. He played. Yeah,
he's crazy.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll hopefully hear from you on Wednesday as we do our wrap-up show.
Will do, man. Take care, guys.
All right. Hey, you too. Thanks a lot. Now, this next caller has been on hold for a while. I'm sure they've been waiting this long. They've got something good to say. 479-259. You're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's Fever Fever. How are y'all tonight?
Fever!
Hey. What's up, man?
Oh, man. You know, another season. Didn't win the Lombardi again, so it's a failed season. But I really don't feel that way right at this particular moment. You know, I'm pretty proud of our guys this season. They, you know, I got some playoff experience for the younger guys. I see a lot this team can build on going through next year. So while I'm a little down because we didn't win the Super Bowl this year, I have high expectations we'll be competing again for it next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think with this offense, if they're healthy, most people could possibly pick them to be in Super Bowl 51. And I wouldn't disagree with anyone doing that. The problem is that you got to look at the Steelers the last 2 years, and it's about staying healthy. They've had some really bad injuries, and you can't, you know, I mean, you look at 2014, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, I don't think Roethlisberger got hurt in that season. I think it was on the few that he played all 16, but you get banged up in 2015. Le'Veon Bell has been hurt in both of the last two seasons and missed significant time. Antonio Brown,
well,
missed the first game.
Ben's
two.
Just faking anyway, ain't y'all heard?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, I don't understand totally, I understand why I should say why people are going to pick the Steelers, and rightfully so. I think that they're going to be a hot pick for next year, especially if they can improve their defense, whether it's in free agency by getting a safety, maybe someone like Eric Weddle, or if they can draft some upper echelon defensive linemen. I think that's what this team really needs. But, it's going to be interesting.
I thought Seven's coming into its own. You know, I heard the last caller, not from watching behind the steel curtain for the last two or three years, everybody's wanting a cornerback in the first round. I don't think there's a chance in the world that the Steelers are going to take a cornerback in the first round. I don't think they value the position highly enough. I think they're going to draft a big boy for up on the line. Maybe a safety if a really good safety falls.
That's
what
I'm thinking.
I just want to call into the last show of the season and say, hey, the future is kind of dim tonight, but the future is bright for Pittsburgh Steelers.
Thanks, Bieber, and I hope you've enjoyed the website. I know you're one of our loyal readers and commenters, and I know that when the former regime stepped down and I took over, I hope that you've felt that the site has stayed afloat and that I'm not a huge jinx and that we actually did well this year. Hopefully you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I appreciate all you guys do, man, with it behind the steel curtain and these call-in shows and everything, man. It's a really good outfit outlet for us diehard Steelers fans. Don't know what we've done before you guys.
Hey, no problem. That's what we're here for, man. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks very much. Bye.
No problem. So, Chris, I don't want to get too far. I know we are going to have a wrap-up show on Wednesday night to talk about free agency. We're going to have the full list. And eventually, I'm behind the steel curtain this week. I'm going to start breaking down our free agency by position. Free agents, whether, you know, the cap hit, all the stuff, and even looking at some potential cut players like Cortez Allen, if you cut him, like what is the cap hit for the team next year, salary cap issues, stuff of that nature. And I don't want to get too far ahead of it. And we have a whole offseason to talk about the NFL draft. And so I think that really we should focus on the game here, and we don't have too much time left. We do have another caller. The phone lines are still open if anyone wants to call in, 347-850-8581. Let's get this caller on the air. 330, you're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, it's Tyler from Ohio.
What's up, Tyler? How's it going?
Man, I feel like someone took the wind out of my lungs with that loss. Man, they play hard, but
yeah,
a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough to stomach it. I think, you know, you look at the season as a whole and you say, wow, you know, if this, that, and the other, if someone told me, wow, you know, if you lose this player and this player and this player and you still get here, you'd be happy. But at the same time, you look at this game and you say, man, they had it. They had the game and they had the lead. And it was in the fourth quarter and they were driving. I thought that drive where Toussaint fumbled, unfortunately, was the most promising drive that they had all game in terms of it wasn't one huge play that got them down there. They were moving it in chunks like they had been. And they let it slip away. And the only thing I can say is that I think that this game, just like I said after last year's wild card loss to the Ravens, it's going to give this team experience. And that's something that they still need. A lot of really
young
players.
Yeah, I don't
players,
like moral victories,
a lot of,
but I just feel good about the team, like seeing them play hard and Shazier developing really well.
Yeah. There's a lot of positives to take out of this game and out of this season, to be honest with you. It's like I said, it's tough to sit there and have a smile on your face and say, oh, we'll get them next year, because I feel like that's what losers do. But at the same time, you got to look at this team and say, well, you know what? This team is they have a lot of pieces coming back, and I don't want to put any predictions on a team next year because it's just ended. But at the same time, they had every chance to win this football game. The defense could have they had a couple chances at turnovers, and they lost the turnover battle. And I still think, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, that they haven't won a football game, or they didn't win a football game this season where they didn't win the turnover battle. Am I correct, Chris?
You are absolutely correect. This is –
I was really surprised
the way
they didn't get Peyton Manning on the ground for a fumble or a pick, but it's the way it goes, I guess.
And
yeah.
And another thing, we talked about this very briefly earlier, and I don't like to attribute losses to referees, and I'm not saying that we lost this game because of the referees, But that one play where Manning gave himself up on the ground, I mean, he ducked his head down.
My God.
He slid to the ground. And then when he realized no one touched him, he got back up. I'm like, come on. If quarterbacks can't be touched when they slide, and he slid, like that was the definition of a slide that he did, then that has to be a done play right there. I don't know what else constitutes giving yourself up as a player. And they're absolutely right that you cannot challenge that type of play because it's ridiculous to go back and challenge that. How you don't call that initially, it just seems bizarre to me. It's difficult to overlook that. That I think, Jeff, you mentioned that as a game-changing play because Manning got back up and completed a huge pass. But they call that – it's a different ball game. And I think it was close to, if not around, when Toussaint fumbled the football. So it all fall. I think it fell in line with the rest of the big plays of this game. But man, what a crazy thing about, you know, they put. There were times they got pressure on Manning. I didn't think they blitzed him enough. There were times that and one thing I will say, kudos to the Denver offensive line. They picked up several blitzes that the Steelers brought as far as twists and stunts that they had. But there were several times that the Steelers brought a corner blitz or a safety blitz, and Manning wasn't able to pick it up. And on that last one, he didn't see it coming. He got down to avoid being touched by a player, and he gave himself up because he thought he was dead to rights. Then when he realized no one blew the whistle, he got back up and threw a pass.
That was one of the most goofy things I've ever seen. It was like backyard football.
Yep,
man. Promise.
Yeah,
guys. It's been fun listening.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Yep.
All right, man, take it easy. We appreciate the phone call. But, you know, Chris, you talked about that play, and it was something that I talked with Melvin about right at the top of the show. It's one of those situations where if a defender were to come in and hit him when he was laying on the ground, Steve McClendon or Stephon Tua, they would have been flagged. They would have been flagged for that because they would have said the quarterback gave himself up and the play was over. No one touches him. He gets back up, throws the ball down the field when, obviously, if I want to say it was William Gay might have been in coverage on that play on Emmanuel Sanders. If he looks in the backfield, he stops. He sees the quarterback on the ground. Why would you continue to play there? That play really, really kicked me off. And it's not because it's not reviewable. It's because the play wasn't called correctly. Peyton Manning turtled up. He went into the shell. He said, blow the whistle, blow the whistle. And when they didn't, he realized, well, crap, no one touched me. I'm going to get up. It's unbelievable. That play frustrated me more than anything else. It frustrated me more than the Toussaint fumble. And you know what I hate the most about the National Football League right now is that almost after every game, the NFL officiating is a narrative. It is, whether you like it or not. Think about the last 2 weeks after the Cincinnati game. Steelers fans are like, yes, we won the game. What's everyone talking about? Horrible officiating, questionable calls, all that stuff. And then you talk about, okay, now here we have this week, and it's again. You're talking about the non-call, the defensive pass interference, and the non-call by Aqib Talib. You're talking about, I'm sure the Denver Broncos fans are saying that the pass interference on, I want to say, T.J. Ward on Sammy Coates' DS. But it's still, whether they will call it or not, it's the fact that it's always a discussion. If the NFL wants to improve something, improve your officiating, because I'm sick and tired. I would love to have a game where I don't have to talk about the officials afterwards. But that's just me. And the thing is with this season, I kind of want to put a bow on this for us here, and then, Chris, I'll give you a chance to do as well. This has been one of the most up-and-down, roller-coaster, rocky road seasons that I can remember in my lifetime. And in 32 years, I've watched a lot of football. And I think that the Steelers are going to be better off for getting through this season because, trust me, there were times when teams would have folded. The Baltimore Ravens, I live in Maryland, their fan base, all they talk about is how many players went to IR, blah, 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 Terrell Suggs, Joe Flacco, you name it, they're talking about it. What I'm saying is that the Steelers had just as many injuries, and they might not have been injured reserve related, but they had just as many injuries to key players, and they made it to the divisional round of the AFC playoffs. If this doesn't silence some critics for Mike Tomlin, silence some critics, when you see players like Ryan Shazier, when you see players like Jarvis Jones
starting to play well. Bud Dupree, people should start realizing, well, you know, these draft picks are actually starting to pan out. People aren't talking about the fact that the outlaw, Jesse James, had a big catch over the middle in the fourth quarter. He looks like the heir apparent to Heath Miller when Heath Miller decides to hang it up. They have answered a lot of questions on this roster, and it's just a matter of letting it play out. And people want the results now. I get that. But sometimes people take time to develop. They wanted Sandy Coates to come in and be the next Martavis Bryant. Well, that's just not always the case. Sandy Coates looked pretty damn good tonight, didn't he, Chris? It gives you hope
good.
For the next
–
It looks like he gives you hope for the next season, and it should give you trust. It should give you trust in the Steelers organization. It should give you trust in their front office. And honestly, I'm proud to be a fan of the Steelers. I'm really proud to be running the BehindTheSteelCurtain.com website. I really appreciate your help this year, Chris. Go ahead. Now's your chance. You have the soapbox. Say what you want to kind of put an end on this 2015-16 season.
Man, you give me the soapbox? Man, you never gave me the soapbox, and I still rant for 30 minutes. Well, okay, you gave me the soapbox, Jeff. Okay, but in all seriousness, you're absolutely right. You know, the team fought through so much. I wrote an article this week. If you're listening to this podcast right now, I wrote an article this week about Jason Whitlock because the former ESPN analyst that is now Fox Sports analyst, he took to the airwaves this week and came after Mike Tomlin, saying that he lost control of his players against the Bengals, that he is protected just because he's a black head coach in the NFL, and that being black protects you from any criticism ever. And that's what you and that is the only reason he never, ever, ever in the media ever gets criticized from anybody. And I broke down why, one, we criticize him all the time, let alone on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, but on ESPN, on CBS, on NBC, on Fox, on everywhere. He's never even been up for Coach of the Year. That's how much Mike Tomlin's been criticized in his career. You know, he was ranked as the 16th best head coach in the NFL, and you want to think he's never been criticized before? Come on, man. Like he didn't even have a real criticism there. And I'm sure, here's the thing, Jason Whitlock, after the Steelers lost to the Ravens in Week 16, took to his articles and wrote a thing about how Mike Tomlin is totally responsible for Ben Roethlisberger not being in the playoffs three out of his last four seasons. Then, when the Steelers make the playoffs, he shut the hell up for a week. And then they beat the Bengals last week, and then all of a sudden he said, oh, this is all on Mike Tomlin. He's responsible for Mike Munchak being a goon and Joey Porter being out there being a thug and all this other stuff. Get out of here, man. Mike Munchak responded to being shoved by a Bengals player while he was out of bounds. Joey Porter was doing what any assistant coach that stands up for their injured star players and is out there for, and then he gets pushed around in the midfield, and you want to blame that on him. You can get the hell out of here with that. I'm proud of my head coach. I love Mike Tomlin, and I salute Mike Tomlin for the way he's carried this team. If I had to pick a head coach for this team and Chuck Noll is dead, he is the only person I pick for this team right now that I say I want leading this team right now. Carried this team. Mike Tomlin said when they were down 17 points against the Broncos, Jeff, what did he say? What do you know what he said to those guys on the sideline when they were down and they were confused about how to come back in this game?
He said, don't blink.
He didn't just say don't blink. He said, blink and I'll cut your eyelids off. That is the mentality that he brings to this football team. I love that about him. Mike Tomlin is the man. Mike Tomlin is the undisputed leader of this team right now. Yes, Ben Roethlisberger is a leader. Antonio Brown's a leader. Cameron Hayward's a leader. They're leaders on the field. But they all look to him because he is such a great leader off the field. And he's such a great leader on the field with how he says, like, hey, let's focus. Let's keep our heads in the game. Let's try to get this win. Even when all seemed lost last week against the Bengals, when Landry Jones, the fourth-string quarterback, came in the game and threw an interception to Vontaze Burfict, and it looked all over in Cincinnati. What did they do? They came out there. They stood Jamin Hill up. Jarvin Jones held him up
form to how you teach in practice when you want and you need to force a fumble in a key situation. And Ryan Chizier just went in and ripped the ball out of his hands, and they recover it, drive down the field, and kick the game-winning field goal. Those kind of things, that kind of mentality of never give up, never surrender, that kind of stuff is it's teachable, but it's taught through. It can only be taught by great coaches. And Mike Tomlin is a great coach, and I am super proud of how the organization has carried along through every injury this season with him at the helm. I so hope that he can stay here for many more years, not just 3, 4, 5, but the next 10, 20 years, and that when I have a child and he is growing up watching the Steelers and he gets to see a new Steelers NFL head coach, and he'll be like, man, Mike Tomlin was the man, wasn't he? Yes, he was, but guess what? This next guy's probably going to be pretty cool too because the Rooneys know how to pick him. You know, I hope that's the case that we're looking at with this. But speaking to specifically this year, the team has fought through so many hard times. When Ben Roethlisberger was out, when Le'Veon Bell was out, when Martavis Bryant was out, when Marquise Pouncey out, which was every game of the season. Jeff, you know how to do my gifts for Film Room all season. I'm going to do a top 10 moments of the Steelers 2015-2016 NFL season. And up there is going to be some pretty cool effing moments. I don't want to cut from the show, but there's going to be some amazing moments, including Ryan Chazier's strip of Jeremy Hill, including Antonio Brown making some of the most ridiculous catches this season, running up against the goalpost, catching 2 touchdowns against the Broncos. Any one of those can make it on there, including Le'Veon Bell scoring a touchdown against, a walk-off touchdown with 0 seconds on the clock against the San Diego Chargers, with no Ben Roethlisberger. Michael Vick leading the team down the field. Antoine Blake having a pick six in that game to keep the team alive. Shazier having an interception against Brock Osweiler in the second half of the first Broncos game. They lose any one of those games where those big plays happened in, we don't even get to the point where we're talking right now on this very Sunday about how good this team is and about how proud we are of our boys because they didn't make those plays. That's what I'm saying. I am so proud of these guys. I love the ride that they gave us as Steelers fans. I am, coming into this game, I'm just thinking there's no way. There's no possible way for it because this team is too insane to just give up and not fight for everything they have. So Steel Nation, be proud of your boys. Celebrate your boys. This was a great season despite all the things that happened. I mean, if you had told me that going into this season that we would have no Le'Veon Bell and no Marquise Pouncey for the majority of the game, the fact that Ben Roethlisberger never played a full game with Le'Veon Bell this season, let alone Marquise Pouncey. The fact that happened and that and how this offense thrives, how it's one of the best in the league. Come on, man. You can't help but be happy and excited for where this team is going and how it is improving and how the defense improved through this season. Keith Butler's system seems to start to work. Yes, they have some problems stopping the run at certain occasions. But guess what? They know how to bring heat. Bud Dupree had a heck of a rookie season. Cameron Hayward is a leader. Stephon Tuitt is developing as a solid weapon for this defense to bring on this to stop the run. Arthur Motes, well, he got hurt this game and was out after the first quarter, which is another injury that should be noted. He's a solid veteran. Jarvis Jones even improved this season. Ryan Chazier extremely improved this season. He stepped up so many times, even today. Mike Mitchell when we said last year that he was going to step up huge this year because he wasn't a huge star last year doesn't mean that he won't be a huge star in the future. He proved that exact point about Ryan Clark and James Ferrier in their careers. While he's not Ryan Clark or James Ferrier yet, he had a big year. So, Jeff, I am super proud of these guys. If we're sending a send off message before our Friday or not Friday, our Wednesday show, if any of them are still listening at this point, and if you're still listening as a true Steelers fan, because I know this is a long show. Salute your guys. Tweet at them on Twitter. They do read that stuff. And just say thank you, man, for such a hard-fought season. And thank you, Toussaint. You are such, you know, you may have fumbled that ball, but you fought so hard in a situation where I could not have expected a practice squad guy to come on and do what you did. Great stuff, man. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of my team. I'm proud of my boys. And this is it's crazy. This is the most positive I've ever felt of after a postseason loss in my history of 26 years of being a Steelers fan and rooting for these guys. So go Steelers. I love them. Let's get ready to talk about them again on Wednesday night.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening, everybody. Check us out on Wednesday as the Standard is the Standard, our wrap-up show where we talk about everything Steelers-related. You have some time to digest. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye.